of all the sports teams that exist, certain countries have a big one or two, but we're proud to say our podcast is about the biggest team in the entire world.
And the only thing else I got to say is, how about them Cowboys? Yeah!
This is the World's Team Podcast. All about the world's team, the Dallas Cowboys, baby. We're here to redefine what it means to be a fan of the gridiron game. It's not just America's team anymore. Nope. We're taking that star-studded pride and spreading it across the globe. Each week, we dive into all things Cowboys. From game analysis that'll have you on the edge of your seat, to reactions and all the latest news. Whether it's free agency frenzy, draft day drama, or injury reports that make us want to hug our lucky jerseys a little tighter. We're bringing in fan groups from all over the place, from Germany, France, Brazil, the UK, Canada, Japan. Everybody gets to share their two cents on America's favorite team.
And here we go, here we go.
America's team, Mexico's team, world's team, my Dallas Cowboys.
And now your hosts, Paul Stewart and Mike Poland.
And we are back. It is the world's team. And yes, it is Saturday. We're here to cover anything old Dallas Cowboys. I am Paul Stewart, and I'm joined by my co-host, the one and only, the Welsh Dragon. You can find him on bloggingtheboys.com. It is Mr. Mike Poland. How are we doing, brother?
Yeah, not bad, bro. And how is our very own Scottish Claymore doing?
Pretty not bad. The sunshine is glorious today back here in Scotland. But yeah, I've been enjoying the sun. And from my own personal level, I'm very happy, man, because my soccer team won their Premier League today. So there's going to be a little bit of celebrations today back here in Scotland. So I am pretty happy, dude.
Yeah, I know. I got your pictures. It looked like you were very laid back with a nice a drink and a cigar and nothing but blue skies up ahead.
No drink. Because obviously
was it just the cigar? It was just the cigar, was it?
It was just the cigar. The drink will come after. So I had a nice wee cigar while I was watching the game. A nice wee Podomo champagne edition. Which went down like an absolute treat. But yeah, it was like, for our friends in America, it was roughly between 74 and 75 degrees, which is about 24 degrees here in the UK. So pretty decent weather for us, put it that way.
But for Glasgow especially, mate.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. Today is Saturday. We are going to be running this week by week, as we mentioned, and also hopefully by next week as well, we might actually have ourselves our first ever special guest, which I'm working on. So be sure to be tuned in for that. Also you can also check out our socials as well, which is down at the bottom here at the.worldsteam on Instagram, the_worlds_team on X/Twitter, and at the world's team on YouTube. And you can also find us on Spotify and Apple Podcasts as well now, which is great. We've now managed to get that resolved. That's now up and running. It's kicking right off. And again, we just want to thank everyone that's been sharing and actually helping us kind of like regrow the world's team to get back up there. So once again, thank you. But Mike, the topic I really want to talk about this week's show is contracts.
Yes.
We have a bit of a unique situation where it comes to the Dallas Cowboys right now. And that is the fact that there's Dak Prescott, CeeDee Lamb, Micah Parsons, head coach Mike McCarthy, and even our brand new defensive coordinator, Mike Zimmer. Tell me what your thoughts are right now in terms of the contracts.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, the coaching side of it all, as you know, it's not capped. So we you know, teams can throw as much money as they want into that, which we've seen with Will McClay, which absolutely. Is why, yeah, they know what McClay's worth is. So they'll just, every time there's talk of him walking, that figure seems to go up and up. And I think he's worth every penny for what he does.
Oh, 100%. And like McCarthy and stuff like this, we know there has been no mention about him coming back or whatever. And Simmer's just basically been added to the team and it's a 1-year deal. Mm-hmm. And the question marks already are being raised regards to that. But going to likes of the players though,
yeah,
at Prescott in particular, right? So obviously, I'm confident there's going to be a new deal done. I'm very confident about it. After having talks with our good friend Kyle Yeomans at DallasCowboys.com while I was in Dallas last month, he's very confident as well that a deal is going to be made before training camp or somewhere in during training camp, he believes. So, but yeah, what do you think about the whole Dak contract situation?
Yeah, okay. So here's my take on it. I mean, like, obviously, it has to be done. I went and checked. His cap hit is $59 million this year. That's a lot of money.
Yeah.
You go and check the rankings. This year, he's second. He's right behind Deshaun Watson. That has to come down. It has to come down in order to be able to sort other players out. So, literally, at the moment, Dak Prescott is like, you know, like a Jenga block, a Jenga tower?
Yes.
Yeah, Dak is that pinnacle Jenga move. And if you pull it, the whole lot could come tumbling down. You've got to be very precise here. If you don't, then that Jenga, the entire Jenga tower is just going to completely collapse on itself because you're going to see a lot of issues here. So I think that has to be done. And I'm with you. Conversations that I've had as well with the boys over in Dallas is they're all saying they feel very assured that by week one, Dak will have been sorted. Now, historically, when you think about the Dallas Cowboys, when they're in Oxnard, how many times have we seen players tank?
Yeah, tank, perfect example. Zeke, essentially.
Zeke, you know, you could go through these list of players that are all being there, where they're all like, and there's usher-ins, and you're wondering about when it's going to get done. All of a sudden, they get to Oxnard, and you just start to see these contracts getting done. They get rolled out quick and they come out thick and fast. That's when I think it'll happen. And what we'll also see is...
Oh, not to mention as well, Zach Martin.
Another good example. Yeah, a good one again. That these things happen, that they get them done for some... I think they like to see... And it is... And I don't know why they want to wait and see with Dak, because we know what he is. We know what he is and we know what he isn't. But they seem to do it time and time again. And I get it. That they're worried about trying to push too many chips into the middle of the table all at once. The issue with it is that whilst they've been waiting for Dak to get a contract done, other quarterbacks have been getting signed. They've been getting signed. And each time another player gets signed, that figure keeps going up. It's just exactly the same as the last time with Dak Prescott. So he gets franchise tagged. They decide to leave it and hold it there for the year. And in the meantime, that price tag is going up and it's going up and it's going up. And the irony is, here, Paul, is we're here right now because they took so long that first time with a franchise tag. If they hadn't franchise tagged him and just bit the bullet and did it then,
I know
this conversation we'd be having last year, and he'd be in the second year of that new contract.
Yeah, and in a way, it pains me to say this, but credit is due to Todd France, and the reason why I say that is he's an agent that's doing his job. He's getting the best for his client. That's what an agent's supposed to do.
That's so, what they do, yeah.
And if we had it our way, we would have got Dak probably $10 million a year cheaper, probably.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
yeah.
But because of Todd France and how resilient and how ego was to get Dak his best deal, we ended up paying that year later and the prices went up. But you're right. We are now in that same situation. We just seen Jared Goff just got paid a lot. I can't remember the exact... I can't remember the exact figure. I think it's $52 million a year, something in that realm anyway. But when you really think about it, with Tua from Miami, he's due to get a new contract. Trevor Lawrence is due to get a new contract. If any of those two guys were to get their contract renewed, re-signed right now, it's just going to make matters worse. It's going to put Jerry and Steven in a much more strict condition where they have to try and pay more for Dak if they want to keep him. Because either way, if Dak walks, we're going to be in a really bad case scenario where it comes to dealing with the salary cap even further.
Yeah, I just checked for you. $53 million, Jared Goff, average annual salary.
Oh, there you go. I was only $1 million off.
Mate, I'm going to give that to you. I'll give it to you, okay?
All right. I appreciate that, Mike. I appreciate that, mate.
But it is wild. And then you think like Kirk Cousins. There's another one. He moves. He gets his money. He gets his bag. Every time this happens, the money goes up. And like you say, there's these guys on their rookie contracts that are coming through now who are now getting ready to have their bills paid, you know, for the next contract. Each and every time, Dak's just sitting there going, oh, in this particular France, like you were saying, Todd France, he's just sitting there going, ka-ching, ka-ching.
The life of being an NFL football player's agent, just waiting to see what happens, and you just elevate and elevate and elevate. That's it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But honestly, like, what would you see happening if we don't re-sign Dak? Like, where would the Cowboys be in terms of what we would need to do going forward?
So I wrote about this, funnily enough, in the off-season, after the season finished. And essentially, the way I see it is if the Cowboys are going down a road of going, we're not going to extend him, we're not going to sign, because don't forget, he's got void years on his contract as well.
That's right. Yeah. And that's the killer. That's the killer right there.
But, yeah. Now, if they don't go out and sign him, Dak is essentially, at the end of the season, he's able to go and negotiate his own contract with anybody. And as far as I can see it, is if the Cowboys are willing to chew up that nearly $60 million it is on the cap this year, if they're willing to chew that up, that to me says they're not willing to negotiate, and that is the end of the deal. They're going to take the cap hit on what he is, and they'll draft a rookie quarterback. If they don't get it done, the way I see it is if they're not getting it done, they are going down the road of moving on from that. The thing is, and I don't want to sound like I'm a Dak hater or a Dak lover yet, but I don't care which direction you want to go, right? If you're saying Dak's our guy, Dak's our quarterback, that's the guy, then okay, then go for it. Sign him, get him sorted. If he's not your guy and you're willing to chew up that that amount of cap and start moving on, then start making plans, start coming down. What I don't want to happen is for them to do it and then suddenly make a heel turn and change their mind, because now it was all for nothing.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. I mean, don't get me wrong, there is some good quarterbacks going into the draft next year, but that's one thing I do not even want to even think about right now, because we've not even started the upcoming season yet. And already a lot of people within Cowboys Nation are kind of getting that sense, thinking about next year already. And I'm thinking, listen, we still have this year. We still have a good roster here. We still do. We've bolstered the offensive line. We've brought Tyler Guyton for a Cooper Beebe, which I am really excited for Cooper Beebe, really excited for. And we've brought in some other weapons on the defensive side of the ball, and Marshawn Leland, etc. And yeah, but for Dak personally, this is still going to be a big year for him, regardless. Like he's playing for a contract, regardless. Like whether it's a new team or it's for Jerry to try and re-sign him. Either way, Dak needs to put out a performance this year if he really wants to get paid that next new contract. So, but that's the thing that worries me the most is like, well, it doesn't worry me. I don't mind paying Dak like above Jared Goff. And the reason I say it is because I value Prescott more than Jared Goff.
Oh, yeah.
Like, and it'll be very hard not to disagree with that.
Mm.
Like, and the reason I'm saying that is because when we do send the contract, it will help our actual salary cap. That means we don't have the voidable years anymore, etc. Mm-hmm. And that's it. That will be all. That'll be basically swept underneath the floor, or it'll just kind of like mold into the new contract or wherever that may be. So either way, like if that gets that brand new contract, great. That means it brings the cap down, and that means we can bring in some other new other veterans on board, or and actually work around with in terms of a trades and stuff like that before the deadline, like halfway through the season, to add some more weapons, whether it's defense or offense. So that's my head is on that. But other than Dak Prescott, we also need to mention about CD Lamb, who is also coming up for contract year as well. Yep. Tell me more, Mike. Tell me more about CD Lamb.
I mean, it's very simple. The way that the Cowboys have structured this Cowboys offense is the entire offense goes through CD Lamb. We've seen it. CD Lamb has a good game. We filter as much of the offense to him and funnel passes to him. Oh, look at that. The Cowboys have won the game. Like, it was ironic. Me and you both made sarcastic comments last year. We were like, oh, look what happens when the Cowboys decide to target Lamb. And because, like, they went through a weird stage last season, especially early in the season, of trying to avoid him for whatever reason. We say for whatever we know the reason, or we suspect the reason anyway, that they're trying to work the contract down. But then they just thought, well, no, let's go for it. And they started targeting CeeDee Lamb. The Cowboys have started winning games. Playoff game, great example. CeeDee Lamb has a bad day. The entire offense collapses. So the way they built this offense, that if they don't sign CeeDee Lamb, we're in trouble. This is a guy who was number one in receptions last year, number two in receiving touchdowns, number two in quarterback passer rating when targeted, only behind Tyreek. And like, you go and check Tyreek Hill's numbers. I mean, like, hold on, I did have it up here. That you know, is he going to get Tyreek numbers? Because it, you know, there was arguments whether people saw CeeDee Lamb as a wide receiver one. I've always said that he is.
There's no doubt about that. There's no doubt about that.
No. There were people who were saying, they're like, oh, I don't know. And they're like, he's a fringe wide receiver one. And maybe he's a wide receiver one, but on the low end. This year, he proved it. He was just like, no, he's a wide. He bossed it, essentially. He was second in receiving yards behind Tyreek Hill. So this is the type he beat Michael Irvin's single season record for receptions. He blew it. He didn't just beat it. He passed the line by a million miles. So this is what we've got with CeeDee Lamb. And what you don't want to be doing is messing around. And he has been a very quiet and reserved type guy, letting things happen.
In fairness, though, we did have that extra game in the regular season. The rules have changed since then.
Yes.
So that will add to that. So,
of course, yeah.
So if it's based on, like, the 16-game year season, I think he would still obviously beat it. But obviously, but with that extra game, obviously, the more it's had more yards. So, but it kinda, that defeats the point. But I just thought I would mention that.
No. It is worth mentioning. I think if you worked it on a per-game basis, I think CeeDee Lamb still beat the record, you know? But yes, you are right in what you're saying. But, like, put it this way. We go back to the playoff game. Brandon Cooks. So the Cowboys have CeeDee Lamb going through whatever. His body language was off. He wasn't seen to be himself. It was a very weird game to watch. And I think you were one of the first people to mention when we were watching that game, saying, oh, look at CeeDee Lamb. There's something wrong with CeeDee Lamb. And I was just like, oh, shit, Paul's right.
Body language tells everything. Like, when someone looks very dejected and doesn't look interested, that, to me, someone's not clearly in the game.
Something's happened.
Like, when you see players actually talking to each other looking over the Surface tablet, going over the last play and stuff like that's some
using their hands.
Yeah, hand gestures, being verbal, like demonstrating, like if a coach is moving up to his player, like it's like is it a V-lock shot like this or something like that? That to me is like someone's in the game. It's like, okay, how can I improve the next play going forward? That's but for Lam, there were some games where he just sat there and just looked like a lost soul, very dejected. And I was quite, and we were all concerned about that. But luckily, he managed to get his head screwed back on and actually delivered still one of his best seasons. But
yeah,
but when it comes to like Lam, we do need to re-sign him.
Yeah, 100%.
And it now this kind of reflects on we need to get Dak's contract done first as well to help accommodate that. And also Micah Parsons, who we're just about to talk into as well. Because if we don't re-sign CeeDee Lamb, that means we need to start looking for a brand new wide receiver number one again in next year's draft. And we've only got one first round draft pick next year. So it's like we're trying to cover all bases here. So again, for like CeeDee Lamb, it's a big contract year. He needs to go out there and ball out, really. That's the thing with contract years. It's like you're out there to impress either your current team or your future team if you do decide to move on. Hopefully that second option is not an option at all. Hopefully it's the first option, staying with the Cowboys.
Yeah, I mean, like you say, every game they play, every snap is it's tape for the next team, you know. But what we don't want is for CeeDee Lamb to have another big season with not being tied down to a contract, have a huge sheet, because if the Cowboys come to the negotiating table after another big season, that price has gone up again, you know, because they've been too impatient yet again.
And again, I'm trying to remember if all the right receivers have just got their contracts. Did Jefferson get his contract for the Vikings?
Yeah, there's been a few. I mean, we were just talking about Tyreek Hill, right? Mm-hmm. Tyreek Hill's earning an average of 30 per. It's huge.
That's crazy.
I remember the days when quarterbacks weren't even getting, Tom Brady was on 21 a year.
And he was taking team-friendly deals for his whole career, but he made up on that with endorsements and stuff like that.
Robert Kraft sorted him out there, mate.
He did. Robert Kraft made sure he would not lose out in money behind the scenes. He would give him endorsement deals and stuff like that. All you had to do is just do a wee bits and bobs, show face or a gal.
Write a book.
And that's it. He would make all that money in return. And clearly that's shown ever since he retired, he's been making he did the roast there and stuff like that. But in fairness, that was absolutely hilarious, that whole show.
It went bad. But I got a question for you though, right?
Go for it.
How much do you see CeeDee Lamb's been with? Just to give you an idea of the top five guys, right? So AJ Brown, obviously he hasn't long been re-signed. He's at the top of the wide receiver list. Average per year, 32 mil, right? Then you've got Amon, who's on 30. Tyreek, who's on 30. Devontae Adams, 28. And then Cooper Kupp, 26. So where would you put CeeDee Lamb there?
Not to play favoritism, but I would put CeeDee Lamb all above those guys.
So you'd pay him 33 a year?
At 30 or 32 and a half.
But do you see what I mean, though? So that if you're thinking of not signing Dak and he's going to cost you 60 mil per year, now you're going to sign CeeDee Lamb this year. That's 92 million on two players.
I know it sounds crazy, but when you've got a link between quarterback and wide receiver that clearly works, you want to hold on to that.
You're saying.
You want to hold on to that for dear life. You really do.
The chemistry is the hardest thing to find.
That's it. Yeah. But moving on from CeeDee Lamb, as we kind of mentioned earlier, there is one other player, one other key player for the Dallas Cowboys is also in discussion for contracts, and that is the Micah Parsons, our linebacker, defensive end, whatever you want to call him now, because he is pretty much of a hybrid right now. So tell me, mate, Micah Parsons.
Yeah, right. So first of all, right, let's get the position part out of the way. Because, like, if Micah Parsons is coming to the negotiation table and he's saying, pay me my money, he's going in there saying, but you can look at the rankings on defensive end / pass rushers, because it wasn't the Cowboys, it was the NFL that done it. Let's be clear first. Mm-hmm. They turned around and said, you get your fifth year option, but you're paid on the fifth year option as a defensive end purely because of snap count, right? Mm-hmm. So if I'm Micah Parsons and Micah Parsons' agents, I'm going, the NFL sees him as a defensive end, so you can pay him as a defensive end going forward in this year's contract. And that's how they're going to start the negotiations, or that's how I would do. That immediately means that at the end of the year, he's looking at a contract that's going to pay. Yeah, I mean, Nick Bosa's on 34 per year.
Yeah.
These contracts, and like, you think about it, what we're talking about here is, and it is badly timed, is that we're talking Trayvon Diggs, so very important position, cornerback. We're talking quarterback, very important position. Wide receiver, and as you say, you mentioned about the chemistry between the two, very important. And then you're talking pass rusher. Four very key, important pieces of your roster. And bearing in mind, Paul, right, there's one that we've forgotten completely about that all people are forgetting about, fans, right? We're going to talk about Micah Parsons getting his bucks. Go have a look about what defensive tackles are getting paid right now, because Osa Odigizuwa is up.
Oh, man. Yeah, I would say, for obviously, we are going to be focusing with this season going forward, but you just cannot help but think about the long-term future right now.
The future? What is beyond this year?
Yeah, what is beyond this year? Like, I know some people are very split between what they like about Dak and they don't like about Dak. When it comes to CeeDee Lamb, the majority love CeeDee Lamb. The majority love Micah Parsons, what he does in the field. The vast majority love Trayvon Diggs. So when you really do think about it, with those four players, like, say, for example, Micah Parsons was to get that Nick Bosa contract, and when you add Diggs on top of that, and correct me if I'm wrong, you're talking about within the range of, what, $140 to $160 million in the cap?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That is ridiculous.
It's huge bucks.
It's massive. And that to mention that you just mentioned Osa Odigizuwa, he's coming up for a new contract as well. And not to mention those other players that are on the last year of their contracts as well. Players that might be on the fringes, but they still contribute so much to the team. Yeah. Like, because not this year, but the following year, I believe Jake Ferguson will be up for a contract as well.
That will be his fourth year. Yeah.
So there's that to think about as well. So there's just, and in fairness, we still somehow do manage to do it. Like, the only time we didn't manage to do it was probably Byron Jones. That was the only last time I can recall that we didn't manage to renegotiate a new contract. And all, well, then again, Randy Gregory. But
yeah, I was just thinking that.
Yeah, like, but now that I'm thinking about it, I'm glad that didn't happen now. As much as I loved Randy Gregory as a Cowboys, but that contract would have put us in much more heat in the position that we are as of right now.
And with him not being on the roster, he was progress stopping other guys. So we got to see the likes of Micah Parsons because of that.
Mm-hmm. We got to see more Parsons actually develop, being more that defensive end role.
Because they had to.
Yeah, absolutely. So it's chaotic. And as the title of this video suggests, it is contract chaos at the moment. Yeah. Like, we are going into the season. We do have a good team, but as of right now, that, don't get me wrong, there is still rooms for improvement for the Cowboys. We could 100%. There's still certain parts of areas within the team that can bring someone else in and improve that. Time will tell when that will happen. But when it comes to the long-term future, as of right now, you do need to raise question marks here. It's like, we would just like to know what direction we're going for. So therefore, because, like, especially for, like, say, myself and you, mate, like, we try and come over to the Cowboys games. Like, well, me anyway, I go every year. I spend a lot of money per year to come and see some games. Like, is it worth my investment to come over and see, like, and still compete to that high expectation that we all expect, you know?
Yeah, I mean, it's a lot of money. Yeah, like you say, I mean, like, you know, to be invested as far as we've got, you know, it is a pricey hobby.
And not to mention our friends from Germany, they try and go over every year. My friend Frankie, friend Müller. Like, so he's going this year. I'll be meeting up with him. Hopefully we can try and get him on the show and he can talk about how he became a Cowboys fan as that as well. We've got our friends on from Cowboys France. We've got the Spanish Cowboys. We've got our
Can
friend
fan.
Like Cowboys Can fan. I believe they're going early on in the year.
I think.
Yeah, they're definitely going to the Baltimore game, which is fantastic. They're going to have a great time.
Oh yeah,
I'm not looking forward to the game, but in terms of the atmosphere, the festivities, it's going to be fantastic. But before we move on, let us have a wee word from our sponsor.
The World's Team Podcast is brought to you by Cowboys Experience, the ultimate Cowboys experience with stadium tours, meet and greets, tailgating, game tickets, and much more. For more information, please go to www.cowboysexperience.com.
Yes, guys. So be sure to go and check out cowboysexperience.com and get in contact with all the guys there if you're interested in going to a game this year, and they will treat you like absolute royalty. But, Mike.
Oh, but I was going to say, on that note, Paul, don't forget that they can catch me and you talking with the guys from Cowboys Experience.
That's right, because we are featured on the Cowboys Media Show. Cowboys Experience Media Show. Yeah, because we had Preston Pearson on Wednesday evening there in Central Time. Got to talk to him, get to talk about what his thoughts were, which was great. Barry does a fantastic job when it comes to like the actual business side in terms of like packages and stuff like that, and he just has so many good relations with former players and current players, and he's got some really good big things coming up this year. Hopefully he might bring Cooper Beebe to the meet and greet. That's what I'm hoping for. But anyway, Mike, so we're now into our segment. So this is going to be our weekly segment, ladies and gentlemen, is Would You Rather. So Mike is going to ask me a question, would I rather? And basically, it's like two options. You may have seen it from our social media posts back in the day previously on our Instagram and Twitter. And basically, like, for example, we had the discussion of, would you rather have Peyton Wilson or, I can't remember, or the linebacker from Texas, A&M? Edgerton Cooper.
Oh, Edgerton Cooper. Yes, sorry, Texas A&M. Yeah, of course. How could I forget that name?
I know. I was going to say, because you are an Aggie.
Sorry. Sorry. I know.
Like, everyone, please bash Mike for that one.
But there's going to be some people who are Aggies fans that I know are going to be kicking me. Don't you worry.
Yeah, I think they will. We did things like that, or would you rather like Jackson Powers Johnson or Graham Barton? Like that's what we did pre-draft type of idea. So we're in this situation now. We're doing different scenarios, and would you rather? And we will post this up on our Instagram and Twitter, and we would love to hear your feedback as well. So, Mike, what is this week's Would You Rather?
Okay, would you rather? We're going offensive line here this week, Paul.
Oh, my favorite. Oh, okay,
that's perfect. That's why we're doing the very first Worlds team. I know you very, very well. So why would I not go with offensive line? Yeah. So I'm going to give you
looking out for me, brother.
I'm always looking out for you, bro. Right. So here we go. Right. Which offensive line, Jumble, do you think sounds better? And I'll give it to you, and you pick which one you prefer best.
Okay, all right, go for it.
All right, which is better? So at left tackle, you've got Guyton. Left guard, we're putting Smith in there.
Okay.
Center, Cooper Beebe.
Mm-hmm.
Right guard is obviously, that's Martin's position. It always is. Just so you know, either way, Martin is at right guard in both.
Yeah.
And okay. Right tackle is Terrence Steele. That's option one.
Okay.
Option two, we're going to shift Smith out to left tackle. We put Cooper Beebe in at left guard, Hoffman play center, Martin in where we said, and Tyler Guyton at right tackle in his natural position.
Ooh. Interesting. Huh.
Now think about where they where Guyton and Beebe have played in college. And yeah, also
is there a more experienced factor? That is a great one, mate.
Yeah. And think about this as well. Tyler Smith. Me and you have spoken about Tyler Smith. Where has he played his best football for Dallas Cowboys? A guard or tackle?
Tackle.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Let me move this over here.
Well, I know what the answer is going to be, what the outcome is going to be, is going to be the first option with Smith. Sorry, with Guyton, Smith, BB, Martin, and Steele. That's going to be your most likely lineup. But I do like the idea of that second option.
Yeah.
Because let's be honest here, like Guyton has more experience on the right tackle.
Yeah.
But the only issue I have with that is Guyton is not protecting Dak's blindside.
No. You've got Smith over on the left, though, who has a record of actually doing it. And if you remember before the draft, I'm not trying to persuade you either way. I'm just giving you like a little recollection of the conversation.
I know.
Yeah. That they were talking about Hoffman and saying they might not actually draft center because they feel quite good, the coaches. They feel quite good about Hoffman at center.
Well, it's funny that you mentioned that because Solari has made some public statements that he's really happy with Brock Hoffman's progress. So it's good to know that there has been a development push for Hoffman.
Is Hoffman been in the offseason, Paul? Where has he been training?
Mr. Duke Miniweber, the O-line masterminds himself.
The magician.
Yes. And he's been working with Guyton, obviously. And he's been
as well.
Yep. So, but for anyone who doesn't know who Duke Miniweber is, this guy is like the offensive
lineman.
Well, no, I was going to say offensive lineman, off-season coach who really refines you and really like helps you with your strength and conditioning, helps you with your technique, helps you with your mental game as well, and helps you with your assignments, your kick steps, your hand placement, everything when it comes to blocking, from a pass, how to defend the pass rush effectively, like everything. This guy is... Yeah, it's got an app and everything you can download and actually learn.
Called Mastermind.
Yeah, online masterminds. Yep, that's the right. But yeah, so back to the would you rather.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to be honest with you. I still prefer the first option. The reason why I'm saying this is purely because, like, Guyton himself announced that even from his announcement with Jerry and stuff like that and his private interviews in the Dallas building, he prefers playing on the left-hand side anyway. He's more comfortable there. So, and whether that might actually speed up his process in terms of his learning and his development, like we know he's going to be pure raw, but the upside potential of him being on that left side, I think is going to be great. And we're keeping Smith at guard, like, so he's not chopping and changing all the time. I think that will probably be the best scenario. And we're seeing BB, he's doing a lot of snaps. He's been told he's going to be playing center regardless. So we know that. So I'm going to stick with the more conservative answer here and stick with option one, which is going to be Guyton, Smith, BB, Martin, and Terrence Steele. And again, like the only weakness there really is obviously like Terrence Steele out of those names that we name dropped, but we are hoping that Terrence Steele can have his comeback this year because we did see some great plays and how he actually pancaked several defensive linemen and linebackers. Like I'm trying to remember what game it was actually. It may have been the Bengals last year?
Yeah.
It may have been that game, or it was a. But either way, Steele does have potential upside, and I believe he was coming back from an injury as well.
He was, so, his ACL.
And so it was his ACL. So you need to put that in consideration as well. So I still have very high confidence that Steele can still do the job.
Yeah.
That, like, the flags are still an issue, but that if he was to go under, like, say, Duke Mayweather, work with him, I think a lot of those refinements can be really nailed out. And obviously, with him now going back to OTA, the training camp, Solari will be in a much more better state in terms of coaching these guys to the way he wants them to be to suit the offensive playbook.
Yeah, yeah. And here's the one, right? This is why I prefer the first May round to the second. I know I was trying to sell you on the second, but I was just putting it out there.
No,
it's just more obvious.
It's a great suggestion. I'm not going to lie. Yeah. It does get your brain thinking. So, but yeah, guys, tell us what you think in the comments. What you think? Definitely. Do you prefer Mike's option one, which is more likely going to be Smith? Sorry, Guyton, Smith. BB, Martin, and Steele, or it's going to be Smith, BB, Hoffman, Martin, and Guyton. Let us know in the comments.
And here's a good one, Paul. Think about this from left to centre, right? Left to centre goes Guyton, Mahler, Smith, Mahler, BB, Mahler.
Yeah.
That's how I see it. And I know, we've got Martin and Steele as well.
Yeah, I mean, and that's the beauty, like, and that's been one of our weaknesses, being the left-hand side when it comes to the run game.
Yeah.
Like our strengths being the actual centre with Bayadish and Zach Martin just in the A gap on the right-hand side. That's been our best part of our run game for the gaps. But from the left-hand side, it has been one of our weakest.
Yeah.
This is not a knock-on on Tyler Smith and Tyron Smith. They're still a great for offensive linemen, but you could tell there was something not right there.
Much better in the pass blocking.
Much better in pass protection, 100%. Yeah, yeah. So, but yes. We will leave it at that. But before we do go, Mike, please tell everyone where everyone can find you.
Yeah, find me on Twitter at KenfigCowboy. But you'll also see me on Fansided with articles about the draft and rookies and college, as well as Blogging the Boys as well. But where can they find... Oh, go on, Paul.
I was going to say a big shout-out to Blogging the Boys. Big shout-out to RJ Ocha, who is an absolute legend. Again, if it wasn't for those guys, we would not be have this platform at the start. We're now, obviously, now kind of doing our own thing now. But again, we just want to give a big shout to Blogging the Boys. Guys, you can find me at I Am P Stu on Twitter and Instagram. And like I mentioned, you can follow her on our socials, which you can see here below. With that being said, it's not just America's team. It is the world's team. See you next week.
To the World's Team Podcast. There's no other team like it in the world. Nothing more electrifying than the Dallas Cowboys. And we're here to prove it. We bring in fan groups from Germany, France, Brazil, the UK, Canada, Japan. We're everywhere, baby. We hope you've enjoyed the show. If you did, make sure to like, rate, and review. We'll be back soon, but in the meantime, find us on Instagram at the.worlds.team, on Twitter at the_worlds_team, and on YouTube at the World's Team. How about them Cowboys?
And the only thing else I got to say is, how about them Cowboys? Yeah!
See you next time.